us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to a
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to another episode of Glorious Day. This is David, Pastor David, and I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Oh, yeah. So this is the second installment of preparing for today's Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up in a couple of weeks. And the theme is waiting in community, because we're called to wait. You know, always waiting is a big deal. It's a big spiritual deal. But as we wait for the coming of the Spirit, and I think, you know, as I said last week, on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, the church was born. God wants to rebirth the church. And so there's going to be, I believe, you know, when we talk about Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is going to come in a big way on the church again, to mark this season in what we believe is at least the outskirts of the end times, that we're approaching that time of the second coming. However long it's going to be, yes, and we have to wait for that. But we're waiting in community because we've been given the body of Christ of which we are a part, what we call the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll share with you from, and Paul really took the lead in talking about the church.
Yes, he did. And you know, I saw something the other day on Facebook, and I put it out to my friends that if Paul saw the condition the church was in the United States, we'd all be receiving a letter, and there was a little picture of a typewriter there, and it just kind of made me smirk. But it also was an affirmation for the way I was feeling.
Yeah.
Because the body of Christ needs to be intact, unified, and ready.
Amen. Amen. And as I say, 1 Corinthians 12,
mm-hmm.
12 through 14 is the scripture I'd like to share.
Okay.
And Paul is the one that brought up the discussion of the church and, you know, used the great metaphor of the body. And so he starts out, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. And that's the word of the Lord from Paul. But it's also something that I think we need to have while all of this else is going on, a renewal in our hearts and a greater appreciation for what the church is and what it should be.
Right. And it's also the value of waiting in community, waiting in a group, because we strengthen each other. I can recall there was a priest many years ago down in Miami who gave a wonderful sermon about waiting. And he was a very busy, busy pastor. And there were times in his life where he started to have impatience. He was no longer patient waiting for anything. And he found, through the Holy Spirit's suggestion, that he found himself in a surgical waiting room in a hospital. Mm. Now, he had no one in his family that was having surgery. And he asked the Holy Spirit, why am I here? And the Holy Spirit said, watch, wait, and listen.
Mm.
And so he just sat down, you know, with many, many people. And it was a big hospital, a big surgical waiting room. And he watched and waited and listened. Some people paced in their waiting and were very rude and angry with the staff. Some quietly cried. Others formed prayer groups in corners. He couldn't hear what they were saying, but they were all holding hands, and they were praying together and strengthening each other that way. And his vision was cleared. Which one of those would you want to be? And the Holy Spirit sometimes has a way of getting up in your face if you're stubborn or if you're just not really listening.
Right.
And he had a reputation for being rather impatient. And he was changed after that, because that vision of that waiting room, how do you want to wait? You're the one sitting alone in the corner sniffling and crying. Do you want to jump up in people's faces and do some name-calling because they weren't working fast enough on their loved one in the operating room? Or do you have trust in the Lord and you just form a circle, a little miniature body of Christ in the corner?
Yeah.
That's how I want to wait.
Yeah.
That's how I want to wait.
That's really, I think, the intention of creating the church. We need to be, we need to come together, support each other. And Jesus intentionally formed a community of disciples. And he also went so far as to establish a new rule for when you could be the church.
Mm-hmm.
In the old, in Jewish law, you had to have 10 people to start a synagogue.
That's right.
But Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and that makes church. So if you have, if two of you can be a church, and Jesus is there, and that's powerful. And why, you know, when we talk about waiting in community, we also, you know, the we're going to, in the next segment, the next episode, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in the terms of prayer. So we'll get to that, but why they got together.
Right.
But Jesus calls his church to be together, to not, to first of all, support each other, to share the love of Christ with each other, and to be in union with Jesus. So in that union where we appreciate the unity we have in Jesus, because we then have, we're in Jesus, we're in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have a complete unity with God. And in that union, we receive the fullness of the perfect love of God. We receive the fullness of everything God is, and we share it. And when we are able to share it, and of course that's ideal, right? That's ideal church. And I'm going to finish this and then, you know, talk for a little, and then invite our listeners to think about how does ideal church stack up against your current experience.
Okay.
But this is why we have the body of Christ. So we can be with him, enjoy his presence, enjoy the intimacy with him, come together and worship at least once a week, if not in some churches more, but have worship with each other, have fellowship, and get energized in his presence. However we put that together, we call it liturgy in some churches, but however your liturgy is designed, that your Sunday, the order of worship or whatever, you have the right elements that enable you to praise God, to have the Word of God, to celebrate that, to enjoy each other's company.
Right.
And then in receiving all of that grace, that when that particular moment is over, to leave the building you worship in and go out into the world bringing the love of Christ to others.
Right.
See, and that's the other aspect of the body of Christ is we get it together. And then we leave, we get so much, we can't contain it all. We bring the love of Christ, the message of the gospel, out into the world around us, because we know there are unbelievers hurting. God wants to save. And our job is to, however he gives us the gifts, you know, but to use those gifts to share Christ with others. And during this time, waiting for the, for waiting for Pentecost, you know, in a rebirth of the church, is we need to be together in prayer. And we wait. And that's what the community says. We're not alone. We're not alone.
When, you, when you're alone and you wait, guess who likes to sneak up from the shadows and start putting doubts in you? or distracting you. And it's the same old tool belt that he's got. It's nothing really new.
No.
When I was 20 years old, I took my national boards to become a respiratory therapist. Tough boards.
I'll bet.
Tough boards. They're written and they're oral. But then you got to go home and wait for the mailman. I'm so old, all we had was snail mail.
Yeah.
And every day I checked the mailbox. Every day I checked the mailbox. Drumming my fingers every day. And my mother-in-law at the time was very much a foundational, strong Christian lady. Mm. And she saw what I was up to. She saw what I was, you know, what was going on with me. And she said, if God has led you to be a respiratory therapist, you think he's going to just turn off the lights and lock the door on you?
Mm.
He said, she said, you need to have faith that he was with you during the test.
Yeah.
He wasn't outside the locked door. You know, of course, as a 20-year-old, that stuff rolls right off your shoulders, and you drum your fingers, and you wait, and you wait. And she's one of the first people I called when I passed. I was rather young to be taking that test anyway, which probably explains my immaturity, emotional immaturity. I wouldn't even go into the spiritual immaturity. I'm embarrassed about that part of my life. But
that's another program all in itself, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, David and I are going to light up the airways with that.
But, well, you know, we ought to at some point, part of our witness.
Sure.
Is who we were before we met Jesus.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Buckle your seatbelts.
Really?
But I go back to also the fact that I deal with the elderly, and they're a lot better at waiting for things.
Mm.
They're so much better at it, David. And they take stock in the fact that while they're waiting, they are serving. You know, I have one right now in one of my buildings who's waiting for some rather serious results for cancer.
Mm.
Now, she said, I have two choices. I can sit in the pity pot and cry all day long, or I can go out and meet and greet people in the day room and share God with them. And I'm going to go do that. I said, you go do that. And that's what she does.
Mm.
And she's staying off the pity pot. But she also prays a lot. She doesn't sit with the elderly and just talk about the Bible, which is great. Some can hear, some can't, because we're talking about 90-year-old folks here.
Right.
But she'll grab their hand and pray for them. And I that touched my heart when she was praying for someone else when she desperately needed prayer herself.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she took a different angle on this. Yeah, I know I may have cancer and blah, 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 whatever it is, but I've got to go pray for these people. I aspire to be that person.
That's a good heart for God. I mean, that to me is the template for being a believing Christian.
That's how you wait.
That's how you wait, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting in faith also. I mean, you know, you're going out and you're just doing what God's calling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't know. I got someone gave me a button some time ago during in our church. We have Advent, which is the season before Christmas, but
mm-hmm.
it's really focused on the second coming, and there's usually 4 weeks involved in that, and it's a season of preparation, you know, and mm-hmm. spiritual preparation, but because it's focused second coming, someone gave me a button that said, look busy, Jesus is coming soon.
And, like that.
You know, but, you know, kind of laughed, but it's also very true. But it's not just to look busy, but it is to be busy.
Right.
Busy in the spirit.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about.
Sure. And that's not superficial. I think about this woman was 86 years old.
Mm.
She's been a Christian her whole life. And then you think about all the people that she prayed with over her lifetime. And then, in particular, all the people that perhaps she brought to Christ. And you listeners, think about that. You know, how many people have you told about Jesus and maybe saw it through?
Yeah.
Taking them to go get baptized, accept Christ, get baptized, become a functioning Christian. One at a time is great. One at a time is just fine. One at a time is a pretty good template. However, think about who they're going to talk to and bring to Christ, and then who they're going to talk to. My biggest compliment in my life, David, while I'm waiting, is that years from now, they'll ask some person, probably middle-aged by then, who brought you to Christ? And they can't remember my name. I want that.
Yeah.
I want to be anonymous. Because you know what, David? I don't have any superpower.
No.
You know?
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm just a regular guy. Like Paul said that day when they were asking, who are you? And they started to worship Paul and John. And he said, no, we're just regular folks.
And that's
Power of Christ.
And the church being really regular folks together. One of the neat things about Christian community is that, you know, we can support each other.
Mm.
And because not everybody is up at the same time. Not everybody's down at the same time, which is good too.
Yeah.
We all come in from the world, and I always think particularly when we worship on Sunday, and we all come in from our activities in the world, and some of us are pretty beat down.
I've seen that in church a lot, more so lately. They're almost like soldiers coming in from the battlefield just wanting to take a break.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because of the what's happening these days. If you're a believer and you're out there, you know, you're not of the world, but you're in it, as Jesus said. And being in the world and being on the front lines for Jesus, it's very spiritually rewarding, but it's also spiritually, and the energy, it takes a lot of energy.
It does.
To be out there. And even if you're just the kind of person that, yeah, your ministry is intercession, so when you're not in church, you're at home in your prayer closet, that still takes a lot of spiritual energy and physical energy.
Oh, sure it does. If you're praying the way you know you should,
yeah,
with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, that's not praying light, L-I-T-E, light, if there's any such thing.
Yes.
You know, I've seen people pray, in medicine, you see people praying the real prayer, oh, help me God, because their backs are against the wall and they can't fix it.
No, they can't.
You know what? I can't fix this. Unfortunately, it sometimes takes that to bring people to their knees. I can't fix this. What do I do now?
This is, you know, we're all going to come to that point, don't you think?
Sure.
I mean, every day, not every day, but I mean, we all can remember coming up against the challenge. And my first response is, I've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. Well, if you're a believer, you know what to do. You go to God in prayer. But you also, because we're talking about waiting in community, that the church has been formed so that we have brothers and sisters we can go to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe their experience is the same. They've never encountered that. We can pray together.
Yeah.
Because God wants to show us what we need to know, what we need to do. And there's at least one person we know we can call, I hope. You know, I mean, if you don't know, but even one person you can talk to, and
call us.
Call us, right. Call us. Go on your knees in your prayer closet, say, Lord, send me to somebody or somebody to me who they can pray with, I can talk to.
You know, David, I had we call them residents in nursing homes, not patients. And I had a resident who was working toward the end of her life, and her family was clearly upset, and they were not particularly churched, but they heard there was a chapter in the building. They begged me to sit and pray with her because she had a long list of what they call comorbidities, things that'll probably kill you. And so I went to the room expecting the worst, and what I got was a woman sitting up in bed with her Bible in her bedstead and smiling. And I looked at her and said, am I in the wrong room? And she said, I've been expecting you. I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I understand you want prayer. She said, oh, yeah, I want prayer, but I want someone to pray with me for other things.
Mm.
Okay. We held hands and we prayed for the war in Ukraine. We prayed for Putin to come to Christ.
Mm.
We prayed for this country. We prayed for so many things that it took a long time of prayer to finally get down to her needs.
Mm.
She put herself last. And I think about that often, that she could have just sat there crying, saying, yeah, it's all about me. I need help. Mm. You know, she never was like that. And I asked her what her relationship was like with Christ, and she said, purely trusting. I completely trust him. And she says, I have no fear of dying. My family is afraid I'm going to die, but I have no fear. And the fact that another Christian was coming in the room gave me the opportunity to join hands and pray for this world.
Wow.
I see some amazing Christians, David. Some people say, well, you work in an old nursing home and people just lay there drooling on their pillowcases. And it's not like that. I've been there 7 years and I've experienced no drool.
Right.
We are drool-free, okay? Unless we're serving steak or something and then they
drool. Well, even then I would be drooling.
Well, sure.
You know.
But all of you out there, David and I can't say this enough. If you don't have a prayer life, it's dormant. Activate it today.
Amen.
To wait for the coming of the Lord with no prayer life just doesn't make any sense to me. It's lacking the fundamental.
Yeah, and that, you know, you bring up a certain focus, because there are people, and some of you may be listening right now, and who are disconnected from the church. Now, it doesn't mean you don't go on Sunday, but, you know, that you may not really be getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
Of course, one quick way is to say you don't get anything out of something you don't put anything into. You know, and that's true. But, you know, I guess we have a sense of urgency because of all these things that we're discussing. Every one of our programs, one way or another, has to do with, you know, getting ready for the coming of Christ. And if you're kind of nonplussed by that, let me just tell you that that's not a very spiritually healthy place to be.
No, you want to be plussed.
We want to be plussed, exactly. Really, exactly. And we, you know, we just invite you to really, you know, tell you what, get on your knees.
Mm.
If you can't get on your knees, then open your heart to God, either way, in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for God to fill you with His Spirit, and that Spirit will come, and you will get incredible gifts. Joy,
mm-hmm.
get that peace that passes all understanding, which, you know, we're living in a chaotic time. If we don't have God's peace, oh, man, it's painful. It's like, you ever played pinball? You know what happens to the ball? That's you.
Well, you know, David, in the old days when I was a kid, we used to go off on something called a retreat.
Yeah.
And a lot of different denominations, non-denomination churches, they all have their own word for it. But it really is separating yourself for a while from the world.
Oh. Yeah.
And getting into God. And getting into the deep end of the pool of prayer. And that's important. And you need to do that to renew yourself. I know my brother David here goes away to a monastery, and you can't get much quieter than that. I don't think they have ESPN and all the TV sets in every room.
No.
And that requires you to make an effort. We can complain all day long, I can't concentrate on God because, you know, well, you have two legs, two hands, go somewhere where it's quiet.
That's right.
Separate yourself from the world. Jesus did that with his apostles and his disciples all the time. It's time for us to get away in prayer. Time for us to get away in prayer. Not alone. As a group.
Go as a group.
Yep.
Yep. And even on occasion when you're able to have some solitude,
mm-hmm.
and many, you know, people do need solitude, but you still are aware that you're part of a community of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on those retreats you're talking about, now we are not totally solitude, but I have many hours of solitude, but there's also a worshiping community that I came out of
right.
that's praying for me, and then I am part of a worshiping community that's there
right.
that I can join in worship as I choose. So, you know, either end, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not a lone ranger. Even when I'm taking time away to be by myself with God and His Word,
right?
There's still, I'm not separated from the body of Christ. And I guess if you are saying, well, I am, you know, if you're hearing this and saying, well, I don't have this, I don't have that, all right, you can have that.
I have a story for you.
Okay, good. It's a good time because our time is slowly dissipating.
Okay, I will try and be mindful of the clock.
Okay.
We have a couple of stores in the area that we sell religious articles and religious, you know, Bibles, books like that. And I was in there shopping one day, and there was a man from Guatemala who was shopping, and he had an armful of, he had all the good stuff, David.
You know, oh, yeah.
Big
yeah,
family
yeah.
Bible. he had a cross. He had all the stuff. And I was there. I was trying to find a special cross that I was looking for, but it was a little pricey. But, you know, I was hemming and hawing and looking at it, and he says, do you like that? And I said, yeah, it's pretty. I like that. I want it, but it's too pricey. He said, I want to buy it for you.
Oh.
And I said, no, I'm not asking for that. And he was pestering me, and the owner of the store said, oh, just let him buy it for you, and he can afford it. Turns out this gentleman came to the country with nothing, built up a business, substantial business, sweat equity, blood, sweat, and tears. And he was there buying all the accoutrements for his home worship center, meaning he was thanking God for all the gifts he was given.
Mm.
So he decided to take a bedroom of the house and turn it into their own little mini church. So him and his five kids and his wife would separate from the world every day, get on their knees in there, and pray.
Wow.
And he had all the physical parts to it in his arms, you know. And I'll never forget that because, you know, we are men. We are the spiritual head hold. sorry, I have a tickle in my throat. We're in charge of the church in our house, and he built one. Think about his kids growing up that way.
Yeah. What an example. What an example. Yeah, it's powerful. God bless you, yeah.
Yeah.
You have a tickle in your throat. I have a back brush I can rub up and down.
Oh, sure.
Down.
Thank you. I just wanted to share that because he's mindful that they needed time away from the TV, the radio, TikTok, all the games, things like that.
And to give that to your kids, which is, you know, we think about waiting in community.
Sure.
And now we have an example of the family community.
Right.
Christian family is a community.
Mm-hmm.
And how powerful is that? If you're a father or mother or whatever, maybe you may be a single parent, as we have many single parent households.
But, and you don't have to have a spare room for this.
You just don't.
A circle of family and holding hands and praying and turn off all the electrical devices. That's what you need.
Just have a few. It doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours either. It could be 10, 15, 20 minutes, but it's something that's regular every day.
Absolutely.
And you separate yourself
mm-hmm.
from those things of the world because in your house, if you let the world in, it's going to be there.
And it's coming through the internet, your TV, you name it, your phones.
Yep. Well, anyway, our time is rapidly, in fact, it's so rapidly disappearing that it's gone.
It's here now.
It's here now. So we do thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you all listening. And we just want to be serve the Lord by serving you.
Amen. And God bless each and every one of you, and God bless you, Tom.
Yes, Tom. God bless you. Bye-bye. Living, he loved me.
Dying, he saved me. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Everything that's everything.